You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Merry Christmas. Today, I wanted to talk a bit about Christmas. I really love Christmas. The early Christians didn't care much for Christmas. It's not that they didn't revere Jesus and what he did. For them, it was Easter. Easter was the big, big event. They called it Resurrection Sunday. And when you get right down to it, Latter-day Saints and other Christians love Christmas because of what Jesus did and what he accomplished. So ultimately, the focus is the same. So, for Christmas, I wanted to talk a bit about Jesus' atonement. What is the atonement? How does it work? How did Jesus intercede for our sins? Did he save other worlds or just our own? These questions may not be as simply answered as you may think. There are a number of different ideas about all of these things. So, first of all, what is the atonement? Atonement means reconciliation. The word atonement was made up, if you will, or coined, might be a better way to say it, by William Tyndale. He took the words at, one, and meant. He thought that the underlying Hebrew word and Greek word, both of which mean reconciliation to God, weren't quite strong enough. And so he wanted the idea that we're to be at one with God, the at-one-ment. So he coined the phrase atonement. And what does that mean? It really does mean reconciliation to God, but with a very deep, deep purpose. What does repentance mean? It's part of the atonement, our part. It means to change direction, to go a different way. If you're struggling with sin, don't make the idea of repentance more difficult than it is. If you have changed direction, if you're going a different way, that's the key component. Another fascinating way to look at this whole issue is with the idea of a scapegoat. We use the word for scapegoat. Oh, it's you're scapegoating somebody. It's not really their fault. It's somebody else's. So you're just blaming it on the scapegoat. Well, the original definition of a scapegoat, what a scapegoat actually did, was quite different. The early Jews had a goat, and he was, by edict, taking all the sins of the Jews on his back. The scapegoat was then run off into the wilderness. And the Jews believed then that he metaphorically and really took away their sins because they all went away with the scapegoat. In a real sense, Jesus is our scapegoat, not in the modern sense that we use it, which is a little bit negative, but in the way that the burden or the blame of our sins and our infirmities are borne by Jesus, who doesn't deserve it any more than the scapegoat did in the early days of Israel. Another way to look at what Jesus did is to say that he intercedes with God to save us from the impact of our sins. Those who intercede, I remember the first time I ever got into, shall we say, a fender bender in my car. My father interceded on my behalf. How? He's the one that got the insurance. He's the one that loaned me the car. He's the you get the picture. He did things far beyond my ability at a young age of 16 to handle the circumstances of the accident that I had created. This is a little bit like what Jesus does for us. He intercedes on our behalf to save those, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, to save forever those who draw near to him, because he always, quote, makes intercession for those who love him, close quote. Hebrews 7, 25. This is Christ's work. This is his major goal. This is his endeavor and purpose for living, to teach, to love all of us, and to secure our salvation. Another way to look at what Jesus did is to say that he is our mediator. Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, is our mediator with God. Quote, "For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and mankind, Jesus Christ, who himself was human, who gave himself as a ransom for all," close quote. So what does a mediator do? A mediator reconciles or fixes or comes to a resolution of disputes between people who have a different point of view. In the case of Jesus, he is reconciling or resolving the differences between humans and the laws of God. When he says between, when 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that he's the mediator between God and man, it's not that God doesn't want us saved, it's that God has decreed laws. And Jesus is resolving the differences between the results of those laws, the punishment of those laws, and our inability to resolve them. So he does it. That's the underlying concept here. So does Jesus just intercede for our sins, or does he do more? According to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 5, he does much, much more. They say that he was despised and rejected, acquainted with grief and infirmities, according to Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, quote, "He bore our infirmities, our diseases, our afflictions, the ways we were stricken. He was wounded for our transgressions and our iniquities." And what he did was heal us from all of those things. And in verse 10, a fascinating comment is from the prophet Isaiah that this is something that God willed or wanted, was for the Lord Jesus Christ to be crushed or devastated with all of our pains for our infirmities. Now, why would that be the case? And how can our sins be atoned? And why would God want Jesus to be crushed with pain, in essence? Well, as used in scriptures, atone means to suffer the penalty for sins, thereby removing the effects of them. Jesus was the only one capable of doing this, but that just means how he was qualified. How did he, in fact, enable us so that our sins can be resolved or taken care of with God, mediated with God, resolved with God, atoned for with God? How did that actually happen? How does he rescue us from the effects of sin? This was his goal from before the foundations of the world. Doctrine and Covenants section 59, verse 23 says this, quote, From before the creation of the earth, the Savior has been our only hope for peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. Close quote. When we come back, more about the atonement, how it happens, and exactly how it resolves us from our sins. We'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Merry Christmas in honor of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And if you're listening to this via podcast after Christmas, looking back towards Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Jesus suffered for our sins. He is the way we are resurrected and the way we are redeemed from our sins. One of the most fascinating parts about what Jesus did is that his atoning sacrifice took place in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross at Calvary. And on the cross, he broke the bands of death and submitted himself to the will of the Father so that the resurrection could happen to us all. He took upon himself the sins of the world. How did he do that? That's the crux of what I want to talk about today. We read these amazingly insightful scriptures, Doctrine and Covenants section 19, verses 16 through 19. You can also find something very similar in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Quote, "I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to God the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. Close quote. What does that mean? What preparations did he do unto the children of men? What did he do? And why was this so painful? The answer is that before you can be an advocate, you have to understand the parties. If you're an advocate in court, you have to understand your client's interest, everything that they've gone through that deals with the issue at hand. If you're a mediator, you have to understand both sides, both what is wanted on one side and also on the other. You have to understand it in every detail. Jesus being the ultimate mediator in the Garden of Gethsemane took upon himself our sins. How did he do that? He was given the knowledge of the suffering that each one of us has from the sins, infirmities, weaknesses, injustices, everything, all of the sadnesses and sorrows that we all have for any reason and every reason. Jesus understood all of them in every detail. That knowledge was for the first time given to him fully in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that was extreme. That was so intense because of all the billions of people in the world and what they have suffered for sin and because of the sins of others and for other reasons. All of those things he suffered. That is a remarkable thing. Why was that necessary? Because without knowing what we suffered, what sin has caused us and others to suffer, all the ripple effects of all those sins and infirmities, without fully knowing those things, how could Jesus atone for us? He could not have. Therefore, it was that complete, exquisite, detailed, difficult knowledge that enabled Jesus to be our advocate with the Father, the mediator between God and man. And it's for that undertaking, which he did not want to do, but nevertheless took upon himself, for which we should all be extremely grateful. He loved us so much that he was willing to do that. I remember once when my two daughters were very, very young, I told them at one point that I would die for them, and I meant that. And I know that if it would save any of my children, that I would die for them. Jesus had that same love for every one of us, even those who are the worst of the worst. He would die for any of us. What a remarkable, remarkable thing. There's got to be someone that everyone listening, someone who you would die for. And if you think of why you would do that and the love that you would have, now multiply that by everyone in the world, and you have some idea of the love Jesus had and also of the suffering that he undertook. Now, I wanted to wrap things up for a few minutes with a fascinating question that pertains to all of this that I believe is unresolved, although there are some people who will argue very strongly that it has been resolved. What am I talking about? Here's the question. Did Jesus save everyone on every other world? I think most Latter-day Saints today would say, yes, of course he did. There are even some books out there, some that talk about the infinite atonement, that would take that position. If you look at section 76, and this is the basis for most people believing that, it says this, for we saw him, Jesus Christ, even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father, and that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. Close quote. That's section 76, verses 23 and 24. But just because you create something doesn't necessarily mean that you are the savior of it. There's a poem that's really the underlying basis. It was probably written by W.W. Phelps. It was a poetic version of section 76. And if you're interested in actually reading it, you can find it in the Times of Seasons. And this is part of what it says. It says, quote, "He's the Savior and only begotten of God. By him, of him, and through him, the worlds were all made, even all that career into the heavens abroad, whose inhabitants too, from the first to the last, are saved by the very same Savior of ours." Close quote. So that's why a number of people think that Jesus is the Savior of every world everywhere. The Times and the Seasons article is something that says that. However, that's not scripture. That's Times and Seasons and a poem. Brigham Young had a different idea on October 8th of 1854. He said this at General Conference, quote, "Every world has an Adam and Eve, named so simply because they are the first man and the first woman. And the oldest son always has the privilege of being ordained, appointed, and called the heir. He is the savior of the family. Every world that has ever been created has been created upon that same principle." Close quote. He said that a number of times, and so have other general authorities. Quote, "There is no time when worlds have not been created and exalted. There have always been an Adam and an Eve, the first man and woman, and their oldest son is heir and should be the Savior." Close quote. Brigham Young taught that. This was written in the diary of Thomas Brown. At another conference address on October 6th of 1854, we have this statement. Quote, "President Young said there never was any world created and peopled, nor never would be, but that would be redeemed by the shedding of the blood of the Savior of that world," close quote. And there are a number of other quotes like this. On the one hand, we can see how Jesus being the creator may be the Savior of all the worlds. On the other hand, if there are worlds that are billions of years old into the past and billions of years off into the future, do all the inhabitants have to wait billions and billions of years to take advantage of the atonement? Maybe, maybe not. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.